I invite you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the chair in front of you, the blue cover. Thank you. It's on page 966. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. By the way, something really strange just happened to me a few minutes ago. I haven't been able to talk for, I don't know, three days maybe. I mean, it's been worse than this, and my voice just cleared up a few minutes ago, so praise God. It might get fuzzy again, but for now it's good. So you can hear me all right. Some of you have been following along with our sermon series here. We're in section 4 today. So if you haven't been able to hear the others, they will be online, that you can go back and listen to them. But we're going to be doing the last part today. But before we do, I know that today is a day where a lot of people dress up and we put on our best faces and come to church, or we get together with family. And underneath, we're often hiding pain or frustration, things of this broken world that we don't often like to talk about. Some of us are sick. Some of you are sitting here. You have pain right now in your chair. Some of you are losing your eyesight, your memory, your ability to do regular tasks. So the question is, how do you not lose heart when you live in a world that's broken? When you sit in discouragement and despair, maybe you're discouraged this morning. How do you not lose heart? That's what we're going to talk about today. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Paul writes, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your grace this morning. We thank you for your word. And I know there are people here who are sitting in discomfort and pain. It's hard to concentrate for whatever reason, Lord. I know there are people here that are discouraged, that are not looking forward to what the rest of the day holds. Lord, we pray that you would help us this morning, that this time would matter, that we would draw upon your strength and your spirit, that you would teach us, what do you want us to learn? Or we pray that you would help us by your spirit, for apart from you, we can do nothing. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Well, it's been a tough week for our family. As I just mentioned, I haven't been able to talk, and almost everybody in our family has had fevers and just been very sick, weak, dizzy, trouble breathing. Caroline had coughing fits. Part of our family's not here today because there two of them still have fevers. Even the dog got sick. It actually started with the dog. We brought him to the vet. He was so sick they couldn't even give him his vaccines. So we had to come home, and he was just vomiting everywhere. And then later, a few days ago, Andrew's been sick as well. He's the baby. If you don't know Andrew, he's one. He just turned one. And we didn't know, but the dog had vomited. Andrew comes around the couch, and there's vomit all over his face. And it wasn't his. So it's been one of those weeks. You know, and all the rest of us are hacking, and so I'm not going to shake your hand after the service, just in case. I feel a lot better than I may sound. But I began to lose heart, and Thursday night was the worst for me. I was laying there in bed, and I just looked up at Karen, and I said, "Can you please help me? Just get me anything that will help." And so she got me some decongestant stuff. But why was I losing heart? And why do you lose heart when you feel the same thing? Because we feel the reality of death in our bodies. Our systems are failing. Sometimes they fail worse than others. You can relate. Paul says our bodies are like jars of clay, that we have this treasure, but it's in a jar of clay. A jar of clay is fragile, it breaks. It's not going to last. And I thought, you know, this sermon's going to really minister to people who are old because they feel the aches and pains more. But then I thought, you know what, that's not true. You younger people, you've been sick. You know what it's like. You feel aches and pains, earaches, all of that. You've even asked, am I ever going to feel better? Because it feels like an eternity when you're sick. Yeah, so you said it this morning. Some of you may have even thought, I'm good for nothing anymore. Is life even worth living? And you lose heart. Our bodies have limits. Even Paul felt this. 2 Corinthians 7, a few chapters later, he says, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. So if that's true for Paul, and we know that he went through beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. I'm just reading from 2 Corinthians 6. He went through all of these things, shipwreck. Did you hear about the time Paul was on the ship? There are 256 people on the ship. And they were in a storm. The waves were so strong, it was starting to break the ship apart, so they took ropes and they wrapped it around the underside of the ship to try to hold it together. And Paul told the soldiers there, Paul was a prisoner, he was in chains, he said, God told me last night that we're going to lose the ship, but everybody's going to be saved. So how did he not lose heart in that? He was chained. How can you swim with chains? Not very easily. But he didn't lose heart. How did he do it? And he tells us here in this passage, beginning in verse 16. So number one, we must not lose heart because, why? We are being renewed. Look at verse 16. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. So if we look at the first part, our outer self is wasting away. You say, well, I'm already losing heart, because that's not very encouraging. But it's true. Our bodies are breaking down. If you look at your car, it's rusting, right? Your house is actually rotting right now. Sorry to give you the bad news. We can see it in simple things like food. You leave a piece of food out for a few days or bread in a bag, and you look and it's moldy. You're like, how did that get moldy so fast? It's because things are decaying, and our bodies, the same thing is happening to our bodies. You know, I think it's interesting, we do so much to avoid decay, to cover decay, to deny it. Plastic surgery, it's astronomical what people spend on that these days. Fitness has gone way up. And those things, I'm not saying that these things are bad in and of themselves. Well, maybe plastic surgery, but let's face it, nothing will stop the process of decay. Why? Why can't we stop? Well, we have to go back to when it started. Back in the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the world, Adam and Eve were not decaying. They didn't have any pain in their body. Can you imagine that? But then when they turned away from God, when they fell, immediately, they began to decay. Death entered in. But Paul says that's not the only thing at work. Look at else what he says in verse 16. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. What is our inner self? One would say it's like Paul is talking about our hearts. Now, let's just pause here because some people have thought, well, look, Paul is taking the Greek philosophy and he's saying, see, you have a body and you have a soul and your soul is imprisoned in your body and there's only a matter of time before your body decays and dies and then your soul is free. Paul is not trying to separate those two things. One commentator says that he's talking about the whole person, the old man, as he says, and the new man. So the old man would be the outward, the creature mortality, as one says, and the inward would be the person who belongs to the age to come, with a body as well. Because Paul points to a bodily resurrection. He's not just talking about, and your soul will rise. He's hoping for a body as well. And renewal comes from God's Spirit. See, earlier in chapter 3, he talked about the ministry of the Spirit. That's what gives life. It's the gospel within us that's changing us from the inside out. He says in chapter 3, we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another. One person says it like this: God is creating within our inner nature a new person out of the old, so that when it is finished, it will be completely new. How does he do this? Why does he do this? It's because the life of Jesus Christ is living within us, and it's not a dying life. It is a risen life. Because of the resurrection, we are being made new. If Jesus died on the cross, see, some people say, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And then they just leave it there. Well, if he died on the cross and he stayed dead, we have no hope. But because he rose again, that's where the life comes. And that we too have the resurrection within us in Christ. Jesus says, behold, I am making all things new. And he starts with our hearts. And look what it says. It's daily. It's a renewal, little by little. Do you know why I think it's daily? Because decay is daily. Little by little, we're decaying. We're dying right now, little by little. But we're also being made new, little by little. And as we decline in an earthly way, we hope more and more in the resurrection. We long to be made new. And it's already happening. Our faith is deepening in the renewal. And the more and more thankful we are for Jesus, that hope is increasingly in the resurrection. And that's why we don't lose heart. You see, if we just look at what we can see, we're going to be discouraged. Because everything we see is temporary. We'll get to that in a minute. But secondly, we are being prepared. That's why we don't lose heart, because we're being prepared. Affliction is doing something in us. Verse 17, look at it. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us. There's the action word, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. The vehicle that God uses to renew and transform us is often affliction. When we're at the end of ourselves, when we say, Karen, help me. I have no more strength. I don't want this anymore. I want a new body. I want to be not subject to this decay. Paul says this happened to us, that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but that we would just rely on God who raises the dead. It's kind of like, think of suffering and affliction as a signpost. You're going, driving down the road, you're looking up, you see a sign. It reminds you that something's coming. Well, think of suffering in your life as that. Affliction in your life, it's reminding you that this life is not all there is. That there's something coming that's greater. He says, Paul says it's light and momentary. Now you might say, I really disagree with Paul right here. Because my affliction is not light and it's not momentary. It feels heavy and it feels like it's for an eternity. Actually, I've been suffering my whole life, you might say. Paul is not saying that. He's not saying that. He's not in another world. What he's doing is comparing. He's using a comparison. If you look at your sermon note outline, I've written that under each point, you can see the comparison that he's using. Outer self, wasting away, compared with inner self, renewal. Point number two, light and momentary, compared with weight and eternal. And then we'll get to point three. So maybe you can understand it like this. So if you look up here, you may wonder what's going on now. Ah, there it is. So there's a cord here. Then it's a long, long cord. I'm just going to pull it out so you can see it. It's a little bit tangled up here. But let's just pretend for a minute, and by the way, we're using this cord, so I'm not going to unplug it, or you might hear a big pop. This cord goes all the way over to the other side of the room, and we can see a lot of it right here. Let's just say we take 1 inch of this cord, and we'll say this is the beginning of the cord right here. This inch right here is our life on Earth, and all the rest is eternity. And we can actually imagine the cord goes on forever and ever. And so Paul is saying, what you experience right here in this inch is light and it's momentary compared to all the rest that's coming. It's so small, but you know, it doesn't feel that way to us, does it? It seems like it's really long, especially when you're in affliction. So you can think about that. Paul is speaking comparatively here. And he says that what is coming is weighty. Isn't that interesting? Paul says it's light, and then he uses the word weight. The weight of glory. It's in the Greek, you can't even measure it. That's what it means. Immeasurable. It's so big and vast, you can't compare it. But the point here is affliction is active. It's doing something in you. It's preparing for you something. And I think this is incredible here. And if I just want you to get this here. Because in chapter 3, this is what Paul does. He talks about the law. When God gave the law, he says it was a ministry of death. In other words, the law pointed out your sin. It showed you what you could not ever accomplish. It showed you what was against what God desired. Right? Think of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. So it's telling you what you shouldn't do. And Paul is saying the law was a ministry of death. It can't save you. It can only point you to something greater. So the law once had glory, he says in chapter 3. Remember, Moses brought the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, down from the mountain. Do you know what was... The people couldn't even look at his face. You know why? Because it was shining. So he had to put a veil over his face because he had been in the presence of God, where God wrote the Ten Commandments. That's in Exodus. But that glory was fading, and over time his face faded. See, I think Paul is, what he's doing here is he's saying, that's like our body. That our outer self. We're afflicted. It's coming to an end. It's not going to last. But then he also talks about the ministry of the Spirit, the ministry of life. He said, this is the surpassing glory, and it will last for all eternity. And that's what God is doing inside of us. He's remaking us. Now, here's the deal. The law, which doesn't save and it's fading away, prepared us for the gospel, the good news. The law shows us our sin, says, I can't do it. I need a Savior. Points us to Christ. Just as our afflictions, our bodies, say, this world isn't going to last. We need eternity. Think of it maybe this way will help you. Raising children. Sometimes it's an affliction, right? But it's actually light and momentary. You know, when you raise kids, and I'm only speaking not from experience, but from what I've heard from you who are older, people say it goes by so fast. You have them in your home, you have this chance to shape them and prepare them for adulthood, prepare them to be on their own for life, to live for God, and then they're out of the house. And your influence is different at that point. So this light and momentary affliction is preparing for something greater. See, you can prepare your children, but you cannot save them, right? That's for Jesus and his resurrection. So Paul is saying we don't lose heart because our affliction is preparing for us something much greater. And finally, point three, we are being refocused. See, some people, they're only focusing on what they can see. And we spend so much time on the surface, on temporary things, when we ought to invest our time, our energy, our resources into what we can't see. You think that's so counterintuitive. Why would we invest resources into what we can't see? Why would we invest time into what we can't see? Because that's how the gospel works. It's inward, isn't it? So here's the comparison. Seen, transient, temporary. Unseen is eternal. So, look at verse 18. He says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. Paul is not saying, walk around with your eyes closed. But he's saying, be particular about what you're focusing on. So this last week, I had to go to the eye doctor. Well, I actually didn't have to, but I chose to. Because my glasses were scratched, and the anti-scratch coating was all scratched up. There was splotching all over. It was affecting my vision, and it just looked blurry. And so I told the eye doctor, I said, the only reason I'm here is to get new lenses. And so they tested my eyes, and my eyes actually had improved a little bit, which doesn't fit with the sermon. But they said it's insignificant enough to where it's not a big deal. But instead of seeing all the splotches now, I have new lenses, I can see through my lenses to what I really need to look at. And Paul is saying the same thing here. Don't focus on things that are seen, but on what is unseen. See, what is seen is our bodies. They're aging. You might focus on your body or how gray your hair is getting or how much is falling out or how many times you go to the gym or what you can or can't do. And I'm not saying don't exercise. I'm not saying don't eat well. Don't go to the doctor. Some of you will hear, hey, I went to church this morning and the pastor said just let everything go. Focus on just what's unseen. That's not what I'm saying. Actually, doctors are God's grace to us. If you need to go to the doctor, you better go. It's God's grace to you. God wants you to care for your body. He wants us to be good stewards. He's not saying neglect all this. He's saying refocus yourself. Paul even says physical training is of some value, right? There's value there. But he says spiritual training holds value for this life and the life to come. So, refocus on what matters. Now, this is the hard part. You can't see it. And so, faith is necessary. What do you believe? Where will you spend eternity? Do you care for the lost? Where is your hope? How will you deal with your sin? How will you deal with the law? How will you escape the law? Paul says, focus on what is eternal, because what can be seen will not last. I mean, you know it. You've already gone through several cars, haven't you? Because they've gotten old. Maybe you've gone through a couple knees, or hips, or shoulders. They get old. Your house isn't going to last. Anything earthly, it's all passing away. And if you focus only on them, you will lose heart. But if you see them as passing, as temporary, you will gain heart. Why? Because your suffering will not last. In other words, the pain that you feel right now will not last. Your sickness will be finished. Even cancer is temporary. Can you believe that? And there is something, but there is something that is not temporary. And it's eternity. And you will either spend it with God or without God. And it all hangs on what you believe concerning one person, the person of Jesus, and his resurrection. Do you believe that he took your sin? Do you believe that he died your death? That law that you couldn't keep. He took it to the cross because he kept it. For you. A painful death that prepared him for great glory. Do you know why Jesus stayed on the cross? How could he endure the cross? How could he go through this suffering and pain? The Bible says because of the joy that was set before him. He knew the cross wasn't the end. He knew that there was more coming. Do you believe that he rose again for you? Do you believe that he is renewing your heart? That he's making a new person within you? Do you believe that he's preparing you for eternity, even through affliction, especially through affliction? Do you believe that he's refocusing you to see eternal things? Will you receive him? Because the grace of Christ is extended to you today. Think, well, what do I have to do to get this? Jesus says, believe in the one whom he has sent. Himself. He offers himself to you that you may not lose heart no matter what you experience in this life. That you may not suffer eternal affliction, but have joy in his presence. So back to me this week, sick and our family sick. Karen said, I really wish you would tell me what you're preaching on so that I can prepare, because God usually does something to illustrate what you're going to preach on. And that would have been helpful if I could have prepared. But you know what it did? Being afflicted this week enabled me to long for glory. And enabled me to actually have a somewhat decent attitude when kids are in coughing fits and all this, and fevers, and crying, and screaming, and vomiting, and all the rest. What does it do? It enables me to see, this is not going to last. This will be over. And I said to Karen, this will pass. And this world will pass. And one day, we will be in glory. Allow your afflictions to refocus you. To refocus your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that he endured such great affliction for us, so that we might be prepared, so that we might have life being renewed in us even now. And I pray that if there are people here or someone here that does not know Christ and does not know if they will have eternal life in him, that you would assure them in their hearts that they can turn from their sin, they can repent and believe. That you, belief, faith is a gift of you. So Lord, would you grant it to them right now, that they would receive you, that they would be saved knowing that they will look forward to an eternity of glory that we cannot even measure. Lord, we pray that you will work this in our afflictions. Remind us of these things. Focus our eyes on what is unseen instead of what is seen. Forgive us for only looking at what's seen. Help us to see what is lasting. We ask it in Jesus' name.